Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey everyone, it's me, Derry, your genderfluid ESGM. What you're about to listen to is Doomsday Dawn, Dice World's first foray into podcasting way back in 2018. We are re-releasing the first chapter of Doomsday Dawn, The Lost Light, as a buffer between Kingmaker and Extinction Curse, as something to give you guys as a treat to sink your teeth into while we wait for Season 2. I want to make something abundantly clear, this isn't the same polished stuff you've been getting from Kingmaker. We're a lot more awkward, the sound isn't as great, and we're using Pathfinder 2E's playtest rules at its earliest stage, meaning things are going to get a little bit clunky. But this isn't here to be an audio masterpiece of epic adventures or grand finales. It's a blast from the past and a look back at the show's humble beginnings. Very, very humble beginnings. So, without further ado, I hope you'll enjoy. We'll be uploading a new episode for this series every day for the week until Friday. So stay excited for Season 2, stay in love with Kingmaker, and as always, everyone, keep it rolling.
Do you want to make a podcast, but you're just not sure where to start? Do what we did and try out Anchor.fm. Anchor is the easiest way to make a podcast. For one thing, it's free. There's also tons of creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. It'll distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and even some places I've never even heard of. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast all in one place. So yeah, you want to make a show? Go for it. Download the free Anchor app today or go to Anchor.fm to get started.
Welcome to Dice World World, the gayest Pathfinder podcast on the planet, where we ask the hard questions like, is it alright to kiss a goblin? We're going to be playing Doomsday Dawn, the Pathfinder 2nd Edition playtest adventure, and we're all super excited. We got Dave.
Hello.
We got KK.
Yo.
We got Ritz.
Hello.
And we've got me, your intrepid dungeon master, Derry. Here we are, guys. Woohoo!
Woo. Yay. I'm pumped.
Whoa.
Okay, we're all a little bit...
sound pumped.
You do sound pumped. We're all a little nervous. We've been looking forward to this for some time. We should probably explain who we are and what's going on before we're going any further. So, basically, a few years ago, there was obviously one of the most iconic games in the history of TTRPG, Dungeons & Dragons. And there was a sort of branch-off point. Because 4th edition of D&D came out, and some people were like, yeah, this is great. And some people were like, no, it's not. The people who said, no, it's not, a few of them started a little company called Paizo and made their own game, Pathfinder. And that was 10 years ago now. And they've sort of been tanking through it ever since. And recently, they announced that they were going to make a new edition of the game, updated for the first time since its... release to have, you know, new rules and new system as a whole. This is, you know, something that us guys are very passionate about, and we were listening to, you know, other people playing podcasts or making podcasts, as it were, and playing the game, but we did sort of notice one trend in that nearly every group is entirely, you know, made up of white, straight, and cis dudes, which is, like, fine. Half of us here were born onto white straight dudes. But also, you know, one thing that all four of us are very passionate about is diversity. You know, so all of us here, we're like, yeah, I mean, like, We're all gay. None of us are really that cis. So we decide, hey, why don't we make our own little playthrough of this? So what I'm going to ask us all, what I'm going to do even, is I'm going to go around and we'll do quick introductions before we get stuck into it, okay? As I said, I'm Derry. I use he, him pronouns. I am chaotic good, and I'm, you know, men and women, but pretty cool. I'm bi. I am an animation and illustration student, although I've got a big passion for storytelling, which is kind of why I picked up Pathfinder and doing this kind of thing. And I think, just to give you an example of Pathfinder stuff I've done, obviously, I've done a lot more GMing than I've done playing. I've run campaigns like Carrying Crown, which is where we got this little group together. I've done Reign of Winter, bit of Shattered Star. I'm even doing a bit of Homebrew stuff now. So, but if I had to give a character that I was really proud of, it would probably be a character I played a long time ago. Her name was Nicole, and she was a brawler with a giant metal arm. Really bad attitude. So, yeah, that's kind of the character I was proud of. And now...
She was also perfect.
Dave really liked Nicole. Dave, how about you? Why don't you jump into it?
Oh, hi, I'm Dave, obviously. I'm, like, lawful to neutral good, because I'm not, like, perfect or anything, but I'm pretty lawful good. I'm bisexual. I really am bisexual. I'm an artist, and I like improv, which is probably why I like Pathfinder so much. I like most tabletop games, I just haven't had a chance to play a lot, but I love improv. My favorite class is probably the paladin, but my favorite player character that I've ever played is not a paladin. In fact, he's very not a paladin, because he's a pirate, or was a pirate. He was an urban scald, and his, like, performance was rap, and I'm still playing him, and I love him, and his name is Cielo, and he likes stealing from the rich.
Hell yeah. Death to the bourgeoisie.
Eat the rich.
For posterity, I'll say right now that Dave and I are dating, but we won't let any favoritism leak in. Keep it all professional up in here. And KK, how about you?
All right. So these boys over here know me as KK, but I also go by Luna. My alignment can kind of range from chaotic good to true neutral. Just depends on my mood. pronouns are she, her, and they, them. Sexuality. Wow. Sexuality. I am bisexual. Stuff about myself. I'm a graphic design major, but I really do love drawing and character design. I'm real big into video games. My favorite character, I would probably have, well, speaking of the rich, Cielo's companion is my lovely little sorceress by the name of Numena Piros. She is ex-nobility, and she has a really nice affinity for fire.
She's on thin ice.
Because you have an affinity.
She's on thin
fire.
Ice. She was rich, and that does mean, you know, she is still on the hit list, but maybe. We'll see how they
can deal.
She was basically disowned when she got her powers, so you know what?
That's fair. Ritz, how about you? Tell us about yourself.
Hello. My name is Ritz. Ritz for shits, if you will.
No.
I am 100% chaotic neutral. I'm they, them. My pronouns, that is. And I'm bi as fuck. We're all bi. I am a performer, an artist, and a history buff with a giant boner for Greek epics. And one character who is kind of my favorite, that kind of the two characters I've played before, Voltaire Lafayette, an undead Dampier sorcerer with a knack for firepower and flirting, although he wasn't very good at the latter.
Yeah, no, he really wasn't. You got into some bad situations with that. Okay. It happens to everyone.
Everyone? You sure?
Does it?
Okay.
Happens to
regardless. Yeah. Okay, so what we're going to be doing is we're going to be trying out the new Pathfinder second edition. And to do that, we're going to be playing a little thing called Doomsday Dawn. Doomsday Dawn isn't your traditional adventure in that, unlike most, sort of campaigns which lasts you, you have the same character and you go from point A to point B, go up a whole load of levels with them. That's not what happens in Doomsday Dawn. In Doomsday Dawn, we will be jumping through a whole host of characters. Each of these guys will be making five characters total, with one group of characters returning a couple of times as they explore the Pathfinder setting of Golarion. And this is one that I've been excited for quite some time. And I don't really think there's much point in stalling anymore. My question to you guys is, are y'all ready?
Y'all ready for this?
Yeah,
I am.
You're not. Okay, so let's dive right into it, okay?
All right.
So, we see an elven woman. She is standing in pitch darkness. Or rather, pitch darkness isn't a good way to describe it. Because pitch darkness would imply that she too is coated in this darkness. It's more that she is almost superimposed into this black, inky nothingness. And she's floating there with an almost vacant expression, staring into this infinite darkness. When suddenly something catches her eye and she sees a white light. At first it's just a pinpoint. As she stares at it, this inky darkness with a single point of white light coming through it starts to crack. And like a fracture through a column of a wall that's slowly falling apart, these cracks grow stronger and faster until suddenly something blasts out of this. This force, like a truck, hits her. And she is sent reeling as this intangible knowledge just blasts into her, forcing her mind to yield. And she screams. And that scream wakes her up. What does she say?
All right. I guess this is just how the morning goes again.
Keke, why don't you describe your character for us?
All right. So, this is my lovely elf, again, sorceress. She is about...
What's her name?
Her name is Emery. She's about, I'd say about 6'5", but 6'8", because she wears 3-inch heels, because she's that bitch. she has lightly tan skin, really big, like dark purple, maybe midnight blue eyes, and I would say like long straight lavender hair, and her bangs are kind of cut at like a diagonal.
Mm-hmm.
She just looks like an elven princess.
What about her personality, and more importantly, her sort of, what's her deal? What's her sort of backstory?
Well, she originally came from Talador. She lived with a few of her sisters there, and her deal is that she's kind of traveling around to see what the world has to offer, really, other than basically like the little home that she and her sisters made. Personality wise, she's interesting. All of her sisters are pretty shy. She's absolutely not. I should probably point out that she's a fae bloodline sorcerer, so if that says anything,
mm-hmm.
She's pretty capricious.
Yeah. And what that means is that somewhere along the way, she's been tainted or blessed, depending on your point of view, by the sort of flighty powers of the fairies. which in Pathfinder 2nd edition means that rather than casting arcane spells like a wizard would, she actually casts primal spells like a druid would, which is a huge change. Regardless, Emery gets up and prepares for the day. And she... What's her plan for the day? What's she want to do?
Well, she's just going to go ahead and walk around the city and see what's up.
Hmm. And you open the door, and immediately you are reminded of what a unique city you're in. You are in the city of Manigmar in Verizia. And as she walks, she can smell like sort of the scent of the city around her and the sound of music from countless different cultures. And she can feel a hand on her shoulder. And standing beside her is a man with a sort of weaselly mustache and a sort of greasy look to him. And he says, Hey, you're not from around here, are you?
Nope.
And then another man comes from the other side and says, oh, we can spot a newcomer to the town in no time at all.
She raises an eyebrow and looks both of them. She's like, oh, I'm sure.
And they're like, we should introduce ourselves.
Please do.
We're the Kanahi brothers. Would you like to come with us on a tour of the city? We know all the sights. Your satisfaction is all but guaranteed. And they sort of both flash you these like sort of weaselly smiles. You probably get the sense that these guys aren't super good. I'm going to make you do a quick roll, actually.
Oh.
I'm going to have you roll society. And I'm going to have you roll specifically for recall knowledge.
Oh, boy.
What that means is society is one of the new skills. It's an intelligence skill. And this one lets you remember a bit of knowledge regarding local history, important personalities and legal institutions, etc., etc. And you rolled a nat 20.
Yeah.
First roll of the campaign.
Woo! Oh my god.
First roll of the entire campaign. Okay. It's a nat fucking 20.
Henry!
Great.
Okay. What this means is that's a critical success. You know who these guys are. You know that what they're leaving out is, and you've heard specifically about these guys, what they're leaving out is that these guys are actually part of the Sarni crime family, the fantasy mafia, if you will. And this isn't so much as a request as a demand, which is not great. And they sort of like, one of them clicks their tongues and says, so, will it be, outsider? You want to come see the sights? Mm. Only, we'll say 5 gold, which is, considering that Pathfinder is using silver now as the main currency, 5 gold is a lot.
Great. Oh, man. How is she going to get out of this one?
I think as she's calculating this, the answer presents itself. As a firm hand lands, just like it landed on yours, on one of these guys' shoulder. And an armor-clad man stands there. What does he say?
He says, hey, who are you and why are you bothering this girl?
And they look up and says, ugh. Dave, describe your character.
Okay, so my character, his name is Kennick Sunboy Found Clan, which is a big name. He's like a relatively average height for like a guy. He is clearly like Tian. He's from Manada, which is the fantasy Philippines. He's Filipino. He's got a little bit darker skin, and he is a human paladin of Torag.
Mm-hmm. And Torag is the god of family, craft, you know, the Forge, and most importantly, dwarves, which is quite an unusual deity for a human paladin to worship. Why has he chosen this guy?
He was adopted by dwarves. He has two moms, two lesbian dwarves. So he grew up with a family of dwarves. He has 14 sisters, all adopted, all dwarves. He's the only human male. He's also, just as like a note, he's trans.
Hell
so
yeah.
So you know. But he's wearing pretty heavy armor, I'd say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And you just sort of like...
Yeah.
It's very easy to tell when you're talking to a paladin. Like, the armor and, like, religious symbol, you know, the armor and the religious symbols make it very easy to tell when you're dealing with one. And these two sort of glance at each other very quickly and then glance back at you and say, oh, we were just going to offer our services to this lovely young woman, show around this beautiful city. That's not a crime, right?
No. Bothering a girl is just rude. You shouldn't walk up to somebody unsolicited, you know?
I mean...
She clearly looks like she doesn't want you around.
I mean, that's open to interpretation. We're slimy straight men. Who doesn't...
I can't believe they're self-aware.
And just now, half our listeners clicked out. So, to everyone who remained, thank you.
God.
Kennick sort of smiles. He's been smiling the whole time, because he's just like that. But he smiles a little wider, and he's like, oh, I don't know. I would worry, though, that I wouldn't really want to get in trouble with, like, the Pathfinder Society, though, so...
These two guys, like, shoot looks at each other again, and they both have the same immediate thought of, oh, fuck, he's with the Pathfinder Society. And one of them says, hey, Dagoon, did we have that appointment with the, you know, says, oh, yeah, with the guy, yeah, of course. Sorry, gents, and we'll have to retract our offer with the little tour of the city. We'll, bye! And they Scooby-Doo out, like, the fuck out of there. Leaving Emery with you with this this paladin. And Emery, you know that meeting, you know, a member of the Pathfinder Society is especially just sort of like this early in the morning. Usually they're off like busy adventuring. It's very unusual to meet one right now.
She looks over at the two retreating men, and then she looks at Kennick. And she's like, impressive.
Thank you.
So, Pathfinder Society?
Oh, I'm not really part of the Pathfinder Society. I just wanted to intimidate them.
She looks him up and down. She says, well, you did a fantastic job.
Thank you. Are you all right? They didn't, like, do anything. They didn't do anything sketchy. I'll run after them if I have to. I will fight them.
No. No need to do that. They're about to. I would have charmed them away anyways, but thanks.
Charm? You got magic?
A little bit.
Oh, sure.
And as you two are, like, discussing this, suddenly you hear the clattering of high heels on pavement. Which makes a very distinct sound. You never really realize it until, like, you hear someone trying to run heels in pavement. But it, you know, you hear that. And you see a very distressed-looking woman. She is... I'm not even sure what age she is. I'm guessing sort of, like, maybe mid-30s. She's got, like, a shock of red hair. And very, like, ornate clothes. And she looks like she'd been, you know, she looks like she's dressed up to go out and do stuff. But she looks very frantic right now. And she sort of rushes forward and she's looking around the street wildly and says, pardon me, I know it's early. Are any of you adventurers by any chance? I have a bit of a problem that needs attending to. Quickly, please. Anyone? And she's sort of like looking there, very panicky.
Kennick steps forward and he's like, is something wrong?
Well, yes, you could say that. There's been a break-in, but not just a break-in. Listen, if I told you right now without showing you, you wouldn't believe me, so I would really appreciate it. Are you two adventurers by any chance?
I can be.
I chalk myself up more as a traveler, but I can help.
And she sort of looks at you, and she says, you know what, beggars cannot be choosers. Please come this way very quickly. I don't know if they'll have gone by the time I'm back. I'm not sure how tough that lock was. Quickly now, please. And she turns tail and starts sort of striding away.
And Emery follows, slightly pouting from the comment, but she follows.
Kenick doesn't mind. She just follows.
Okay. And she sort of like talks over her shoulder as she's like striding, like arms swinging in time as she's... It's more of a march at this point. She's gone from looking panicky to now that she has you to looking very grim and determined.
Mm-hmm.
She says, I'm so sorry. I know it's only the morning, but oh, for goodness sake. I should introduce myself. Kaleri Deverin. Pleasure to meet both of you. You two would be...
I'm Kennick.
And I am Emery.
Okay, fantastic. I'm sorry, I'm not usually this brisk or rude, but like I said, break in. And, well, I caught the culprits, but it's not as easy as one would think. Please, come in. And she leads you to a very beautiful-looking home. Sort of, like, fenced off with, like, iron gates. This doesn't look like an easy place to break into. The walls are like covered in ivy. And as she opens the front door, you can see like the insides are pretty much intact. It doesn't look like anyone, you know, broke a window or smashed anything open. She says, this way, please. Into the basement as quickly as possible.
All right. He follows.
Okay. And as she leads you in, she leads you downstairs to a room which looks like it's been pretty badly trashed. And she says, all right, well. And she's like, she's trying to compose herself. And as you sort of look around, this place looks really badly like messed up. Worst of all is a giant hole in the floor which leads into a tunnel. And she says, all right. Well, okay, to explain more. As I said, my name is, Kaleri Deverin. I have a cousin, in a town called Sandpoint, not too far from here. She's the mayor, Kendra. And, well, there's, a festival taking place in 7 days, the Swallowtail Festival. The festival's focus is on the consecration of Sandpoint's new cathedral. And I had hoped to bring a family heirloom, the Star of Desna, to receive a blessing. But as I prepared for my trip, I was supposed to be on the road by now. There was an unexpected complication. And she points at a pedestal which has a little chest on it. And the chest is shaking slightly, as if something alive is in there.
I'm sure that's not supposed to do that.
Is that something that I should be worrying about?
You will have to worry about it, because, well, I came downstairs to get the Star of Desna, and well, this hole wasn't part of the original floor plan. I'll say that much.
I can imagine.
The place was in a state of total disarray. Chests smashed across the room, shelves knocked over, and a steel lockbox containing the Star of Desna was missing. And, obviously the source of robbery is evident. She glances down at the gaping hole in the center of the floor. This leads down to the sewers, and and you can see there's actually some footprints around the room with sewage stains. And she says, I quickly followed them, and the culprits are in the box, if you'd like to open it. And she says that with sort of like grit teeth. Now, draw your weapons, because I don't know how they'll react, but I did manage to sort of put them in there when I went to look for help, so they didn't flee.
Kinnick pulls out a very big hammer.
Emery has her hands ready with fire.
Catch these hands.
She goes over and unlocks it and opens. And almost immediately, two goblins with like big football-shaped heads with pointy ears, big teeth and mouths, and like red bulbous eyes sort of like spring out. And one of them screams, and she says, please don't eat us!
Please, please don't eat us!
No, we don't taste good!
We'll give you venereal diseases!
Yeah. What?
Let's
describe your character.
Alright, so this is Zebediah Gulruk. Zebby for short is his nickname. He is a goblin bard, and he's just a real trash, nasty boy.
What's he look like?
Zebby is, of course, a goblin, and he's very small. He has his, of course, green skin and football-shaped head, big ol' ears. He dresses kind of like garbage. The best I describe him is kind of potato sacky clothes with a little hat with antlers on them, I'd say. Jackalope antlers. Because those are the only antlers small enough to actually fit onto his head without crushing him.
What class is he, did you say?
I did. He is a bard.
Hell yeah. Okay, I mean, I assume he has some sort of instrument.
He does. What would that be? He has a banjo on his back.
Perfect.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
The other goblin is also short. She has a little hat on. It looks like it's made of leather. She also dresses like garbage. This seems to be a recurring theme with goblins, in that they don't dress very well.
They just don't have fashion.
And both of them are clinging to each other and
goblin fashion. Maybe you just don't know that goblin fashion's. It's better.
This is very avant-garde 1468 Gucci.
Oh boy.
I couldn't think of a name.
These two goblins are clinging to each other in fear and screaming out stupid bullshit. Kaleri says, well, I found these two. She with a grim face.
Zebby is holding on to Talga with his nose is like running in fear.
Oh, that's horrible.
It's a little garbage man.
This little garbage man is shaking to the bone.
Aww.
Okay. Kaleri says, these kind gents were hiding behind some containers when I got here. And I managed to talk to them before I decided I needed external help and locked them up so that they didn't break stuff. And Talga says, I take serious offense to that.
Yeah, me too.
I wasn't gonna bust anything. Don't you see my leg? And she waves her little leg, and it's a peg leg. Looks like she can't move very fast. And Claire looks and says, can you talk to them? I do not have the mental stamina to do this again.
You know, that's pretty rude.
I mean, no, Zeri, she's right. We are.
Yeah, she's right.
Yeah, high five.
Yeah.
This really is. Mm-hmm. Yup.
So, yeah, you guys, what do you want to ask these two goblins that you have found cowering down here in the chest?
Okay, so Emery's first going to put away the fire and hold her hands up and step forward saying, okay, we're not going to hurt you unless we have to.
What about the guy with the hammer?
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
Hey.
Kennick looks
at Zebby points at Kennick. He's like, long shank. Put away the hammer.
Yeah, it's scary. I've seen so many people get smooshed by hammers, and I'll be real, it looks really rad, but not to me.
Yeah.
Kennick's like, okay.
It's pretty badass, but it's kind of scary when it's you.
Okay, Jesus. And he puts it away.
Who's Jesus?
Who's Jesus?
He was a paladin as well. His god was really weird, though. His name was God.
What a weird god.
Okay, and now that we put Jesus into the canon of Pathfinder. Okay. So, Kaleri says, just talk to them, find out what they did and what they want, and just get it over with, please.
Okay, we're doing that. Just hang on a second. Okay. So, were you guys the one responsible for the giant hole in the ground?
I mean, yeah. Technically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes or no answer.
Yeah, we did it.
Yeah, okay. We did.
But it wasn't our fault. It wasn't our fault.
It really wasn't.
If it's not your fault, why? And whose fault is it?
Well, first of all, not ours, but,
okay, I'm like, she starts crying. She just starts sobbing.
Kennick's hands go up and he's like, oh,
Talga.
What do I do with this?
Zebby hugs Talga and he's like, it's okay. It's okay.
It's so scary.
It is scary. It's okay, though.
It was scary.
What happened?
We should start from the beginning.
The beginning? Okay.
And they start killing us and all the others and we...
That's not the beginning of a story.
Okay, well...
A little further back?
A little further? Okay.
We decide we were gonna get out and we tried, but then he got us!
Okay,
he
got further us back. Good!
Further
he
back.
Got us
who
real
the heck
good.
Is he?
Who is he? Why did you want to leave?
And like, you see Killer, and she's like pinching.
I love her. Yeah.
Yep. They've already done this once. They already said all of this, like, in this exact same way. It's like they've.
Maybe they do put it like this. Maybe this is just the way that goblins tell stories.
Okay. And, Talia says, you tough. It's too upsetting.
All right.
Also, I don't like talking to longshanks.
Yeah, I understand that.
They're so long.
They are. They got spindly legs.
I'm an elf. I'm tall by nature.
I'm not that tall.
You got spindly legs. Well, to begin from the beginning of the beginning, we're... the beginning of the very beginning. We were in a gang called Mud Chewers, and
yeah,
everything was pretty good. We were all we were pretty good, dirty, slimy boys until
we ate bugs.
Yeah, tasty bugs.
That was the Mud Chewer. We chewed mud and ate bugs, and sometimes we inhaled a load of mushrooms.
A little bit. Yeah.
Okay, moving on, please.
Oh, yeah. So, everything was fine until... Dracus.
No! She starts grabbing at her head and like rocking a little bit.
Dracus is a hobgoblin.
Take her. He's bad. He's a hobgoblin.
He's a hobgoblin and he's bad. I don't like him. We know you didn't like him. He's bad. He's tall. Gross.
And he was our leader because goblin law says if you kill the president, you become the president. So watch the fuck out, JFK. And everyone starts looking at the camera.
Alright.
And now we've also inserted JFK into the Galarian lore. Continue.
So Dracus took over and he's bad. He's bad. He's got long teeth.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
Fuck that guy.
He's got a big football-shaped head and big red eye.
Yeah, he's fucking green.
So, ugly. You also are green, have red eyes, and a football head. No, no offense.
I mean, you say that.
He's not tall.
I don't see the point you're making.
Oh yeah. My god.
And like, Hilary's like, she's got her head in her hands. She's got her head in her hands. So please, just interview them. I've already purged these memories from my head. Interview them and just get going.
Alright. So, Dracus the Taker. That piece of shit bitch.
Make stuff?
Fuck that guy. He does. He takes things for himself and he takes them, and it's not good. He basically took over the gang and our base, and he forced us to steal from Longshanks, which was, that was fine, but...
Yeah, that's fine.
I mean, we didn't really care about that part, but,
yeah.
It was, like, totally fine, but he...
He made us dig holes, yeah, like this one.
Like, yeah, we dug that hole. Is it nice? Do you like it?
Yeah, we put a lot of effort into it.
It's lovely. Now, please, let's keep going.
I'd rate it 6 out of 10.
So...
That's, like, that's a hard judgment coming from the... like a patron of the god of crap.
God. Where was I? So Dracus, that motherfucker, he and Zebby looks very uncomfortable about this. He had long teeth, and very sharp long teeth, and he's a vampire.
Yeah, he's not a god. He's not really a hobgoblin. He's a vampire.
It's bad.
Not a real hobgoblin, but he looks like you and just has longer teeth.
You a vampire?
He is a vampire.
He's a fucking vampire. I don't know what to say to you. And Kalari is just
blood.
Like, she looks like she needs coffee.
I have a question for you two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How do you know he's a vampire? Did he suck anybody's blood?
Fucking yeah, he did.
Yes.
That's bizarre. How he's a hobgoblin, but he's not a hobgoblin?
He's a vampire.
I mean, I don't know how to explain.
Yeah, I mean, we made it pretty clear. I mean,
vampire, any creature can contract vampirism. But also, and she sort of looks at you guys and shakes her head a little bit. She's like, No. That's not a vampire, my guys. And she says, Talga says, any goblin who displeased him would be pulled into the back room, and then a few hours later, they'd be thrown out onto and put on a wall, and there'd be a big bloody hole in their neck and nothing else, no blood left in their body.
Yeah, it was scary.
A hole terrible. Or several?
That's kind of intense.
We didn't check.
I didn't count the numbers of holes. That's kind of rude.
Count.
I mean, he's a vampire, actually, other than just, like, probably stabbing him in the neck.
I don't follow.
You know what? Okay, vampire, sure. Why not?
And then me and Zebby were like, hey, you know
fuck what? This.
This
fucking blows.
And we got our gang together, we played like this game called Gardens and Gnomes. It's good. We roll dice, and I have a wizard.
Oh yeah, and I got a sorcerer.
I mean, it just occurred to me that if we're going to go with this analogy, it should be the other way around. So I have a fireman and he drives a fire truck.
Yeah.
And Keller is like, please, I am begging you. It's only a week until this festival and I really need this back.
Do you know where we could find this thing that you were forced to steal?
We're not finished your spell.
Oh my god.
Kalari looks like, she looks like, I can't even explain how tired she looks. It looks like, imagine Sleeping Beauty had spent all the time just awake staring at the ceiling.
Oh god.
So like anti-Sleeping Beauty.
Why do I need beauty?
There we go.
Okay, and Talga says, We got our guards and gnome group together and we were Balmoon.
Okay, slow down. What happened? It's okay.
He fucking got us!
Did he kill? Is that what he did? How many people did he kill?
Six?
Yeah.
It was a very big... It was kind of a
big group for a game like that.
Yeah, it's better than three.
Shut up!
Excuse you?
Hey, Talga, this is getting a little meta.
I think it got meta with the JFK assassination. Let's continue.
Okay.
We said we'd hide here because we didn't want to get blood and vampire. Yeah. But he could be coming any second.
He could be. He's almost here, probably.
Then we came up here and we hid, and then a scary monster got us and she asked us questions, put us in a box. She was so ugly and stupid and smelly. Yeah. And Kaleri just like, okay, I'm going to end this interview right now because I've had enough.
Zoe sticks his tongue out at her.
And like, she doesn't even register it. She's like, she looks directly at Kennick and at Emery. And she says, listen, if you can get that back for me, I'll give you a monetary reward of some sort. I'll make sure you are fully reimbursed. I need that back. If I don't have the Star of Desna in time for the Swallowtail Festival, we're going to be in quite a spot of trouble.
Yeah.
And for fans of the Galarian setting already, I should note that the Swallowtail Festival and this Kendra Deverin and of course the Town of Sandpoint are all part of the first ever book of Pathfinder Adventure Path, Rise of the Rune Lords Burnt Offerings. And why is that? Because what we're playing right now is set 10 years in the past, before Pathfinder's, you know, canon storyline ever began. And then, like, this is the part where we put in, like, the Inception. regardless, or, like, you know, maybe, like, Law and Order, dun-dun, like, some sort of stint.
Don't you love copyright laws?
We can't do that.
Goblins don't have copyright laws.
That was out of character, you!
Oh my god.
In character. And like everyone looks at Talga and she's like, what are you saying? Anyway, Talga's ears prick up at the mention of monetary reimbursement, and she sort of like nudges Zebby. Hey, Zebby.
Hey, you think of what I'm thinking?
Yeah, I know like we did almost just get killed, but I'm thinking you go in there for both of us and we'll split that money between us. And I won't go out there.
Yes, exactly what I was thinking.
Perfect! Hell yeah!
Hell yeah!
High five!
And like,
Goblin.
Oh, goblin.
Okay, so Emery and Kennick, you're the two that are being formally invited to go do this, while these two goblins suddenly do a jig. And Kaleri says, "So, are you good to go? Need anything else, or?"
I think. Yeah, I don't need anything else. I have this hammer, and it can sure do damage.
And that's That's good. You might need it. Sounds like whatever is going on down there, it's not fun. Well, the hole's right there. And the three of you sort of stand there, peering down into this pit before you descend through the darkness and sludge of the sewers to enter the Ashen Ossuary.
An LGBTQIA actual play podcast network.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.